Well, hello, respected viewers. I'm George from Ireland. Thank you for coming back to my channel. This is marking the anniversary of the Battle of New Orleans. Actually, it was yesterday. I have heard of people pronounce it New Orleans, but should I call it Orléans Nouvelle? Anyhow, fought on the 8th of January, 1815, and it was one of the United Kingdom's heaviest defeats, part of the War of 1812. We call it that, but it lasted into 1815. Now, the worst thing about this battle is it took place a fortnight after the Treaty of Ghent, which ended the war. However, the United States Congress didn't ratify that to the 16th of February. So all these people died for nothing. It was a British defeat. Had it been a British victory, it actually wouldn't have changed the outcome of the war or the terms of that treaty. Remember, transatlantic traffic was slow. It took something like 6 weeks to get across the Atlantic, you know, and it just varied according to the weather, the currents and so forth. So anyway, the British Army, commanded by a Major General Sir Edward Pakenham, who was Irish, against the US Army under Brevet Major General Andrew Jackson, who later became Prime Minister. So it's just southeast of New Orleans. So nowadays it'd be considered part of the city, but those days out on the countryside. So it's about fighting in the Gulf of Mexico and the United Kingdom attempting to take New Orleans. Remember, this is part of Louisiana, only been sold by France about 10 years earlier. Part of the Louisiana Purchase, one of the biggest real estate deals in all time, relevant of Greenland, or so redolent of the Greenland situation. In those days, territory was just sold without regard to the wishes of the inhabitants. They were not allowed to determine the future of the place they lived. Anyway, so that's why Britain attacked the city and was defeated, had significant numerical superiority, roughly 8,000 troops to the Americans, 5,700. So the British suffered heavy losses in attacking, you know, 291 dead, over 1,200 wounded, about 484 missing or captured. Presumably some of the missing just died, or did they take the opportunity to desert? So about 2,000 casualties, so around 25% casualties. The Americans suffered only a baker's dozen of dead, 39 wounded. They said 19 missing or captured. The side that holds its ground seldom loses people as prisoners of war. So they suffered only 71 casualties. So they only suffered a bit over 1% of their force as casualties. So that was it. So Pakenham, from a notable Irish aristocratic family, the Earl of Longford was head of the family and a collateral descendant of that Sir Edward Pakenham. He was Lord Longford, the well-known Labour peer in the United Kingdom. And I saw him once in 1999. I attended the penultimate day of the sitting of all the hereditary peers. Remember, a lot of the hereditaries lost their rights in 1999. I was there in the House of Lords chamber looking down, and I recognize his inimitable bonce as he doddered by. He died just a few years later. Lord Pawn, as some called him. But yes, that's yet another digression. Anyway, so Spain was an ally of the United Kingdom at the time, because, of course, you know, Spain had been invaded by France. The King of Spain had been pushed aside. Napoleon had put his elder brother, Joseph, on the Spanish throne, eventually been chased out. Napoleon Bonaparte had met, was about to meet his Waterloo. It was actually, ironically enough, it was during that almost 100 days, it's that March 1815 that Napoleon was to come back and try and reclaim his crown. So the Battle of Waterloo was only like 5 months later. All right, so that's why they've been fighting there. The Royal Navy was there fighting about various lakes. The British de-embarked under John Keane and rowed further in. He's also an Irishman, Lord Keane. And there was a prominent Keane family of County Cork, of East Cork. I wonder if he's their progenitor, taking various plantations. But General Jackson, he raided the British camp the night before. So a surprise attack, and the British sustained significant losses. The Americans did almost as badly, so it was only semi-successful for the Americans. And then coming onto the battle. So obviously you begin with bombarding each other with artillery. And this was obviously, the United States Army was fighting as a conventional army, not like in the American Revolution, where they fought more or less as a guerrilla force to begin with, becoming more and more conventional as time went on. So they were disciplined and drilled and so on. The whole idea was automatism, so people wouldn't panic and run, wouldn't fire too quickly. Because remember, they're firing muskets in those days, and muskets took something like 20 seconds to load, had about a 200 meter range, only about effective for about 100 meter range. There's no point in firing it beyond 200 meters, you've got the musket ball's going to fall short. It wouldn't hit an elephant. And not much point in firing to within 100 meters because you don't have that much chance of hitting and so on. Firing at the middle of the mass. And obviously, after a few volleys, there'd be so much smoke, you couldn't really see what you're firing at anyway. So, but the Americans had obviously their regular army and some militia, as in people who did their ordinary civilian jobs, mostly farmers, and did some military training. So we're not as highly trained or professional as full-time soldiers and so on. So I shan't give you a blow-by-blow account of it, but it did not last very long at all. So the American losses were very superficial and the British losses were heavy, partly because there was no surprise. The Americans were well aware they were coming. They're very ready. Americans had a lot of artillery support and so on. Now, there were rifles as opposed to muskets. So rifles really were rifles that's in spun inside. So it came out spinning. It went further and it was more accurate. And that was they had an effective range of about 300 meters as opposed to 100 meters for muskets. The only problem with rifles, they're much slower to load. They're often used for hunting, shooting animals because the animals couldn't shoot back. Fire. Okay, you missed that one. It's going to take a minute to load, not 20 seconds, and then get in a position to fire again. Because usually if you missed the animal, it was gone. It was just scared off by the noise. You weren't going to have another chance anyway. So they were good sharpshooters, firing at long distance at high-value targets, officers and so on. But obviously in close combat, that wasn't worth it because you didn't have the volume of fire. You're going to fire one, and then you're going to have to reload. And by that time, you'd be dead because the enemy could have fired at you three times, will be there on top of you with this bayonet and things like that. So anyway, one of the senior American officers was killed in the battle. So the British had to pull out. So General Jackson is one of the things that propelled him to the presidency some late time later. So many of the British troops were interred near to where they fell. So the Hunters of Kentucky, those militia who were riflemen, they were doing very, very well against that. So not great for the United Kingdom. In Italy, it was fighting the Nepal War again as well. So at the same time against the Nepalese in India. So, okay, and that the war came to the close, but it also affected domestic American politics, led to the Three-Fifths Compromise when they're calculating how much representation in each state of the House of Representatives. Okay, we'll look at per head of population. But what about the black community? Because this would advantage the southern states, which hadn't abolished servitude. And this is where they came up with the outrageous, inhumane claim that a black person was worth three-fifths of a man, not a whole human being. They often said man to mean human, not just adult male, and so forth. Anyway, but say dehumanization continues against certain categories of people today. Right, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, George Callahan. 79@gmail.com. Goodbye.